The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Welcome to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy. What's up, Trav Nation?
Woof, I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Right off the bat, I do need to apologize to Trav Nation. Those NFTs.
Ooh, hold on one second. Just got to tamp down the huge rush of panic that you just sent through my my whole body with that beginning. Okay, go ahead.
The NFTs, while very popular and profitable, didn't turn out the way I'd hoped. They were just the same picture of my face over and over again, mailed physically to everyone. The guy I partnered with, Slick Steve, said that
Steve is an issue. Now, I had a problem.
Right now, everyone is checking the date of this podcast to be like, this can't be from October 2023. These guys are talking about NFTs.
Slick Steve told me that NFTs have never been hotter.
Right. But he did explain, when he explained it to you, he did make sure you knew they were called non-fungible Travises.
Yes, correct.
And you liked that.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to him at Kinko's and I was like, yeah, just send out the NFTs.
That's where they make the NFTs at Kinko's.
And he said, yeah, I'll mail them to everybody. And I said, like, email? And he said, sure, whatever. And I gave him like $100 and he said he'd do it. And he apparently sent out like a million of them. But it was like 100 to each person. I'm not sure how NFTs work. But I do apologize for that. And
this was like when I joined Gross Nation, which was Terry Gross's nation.
Yeah.
And I bought a lot of what Terry Gross called PP vitamins. That Terry Gross said was going to work super good for everyone who enjoyed them. But I'm 20,000 in the hole thanks to Terry Gross's PP medicine scheme.
Were you supposed to buy Terry Gross's PP medicine and sell it to other people?
That's where it
fell apart for Griffin. He just got to the bottom of the pyramid and he was like, I love it here. This is actually perfect.
I feel very stable and supportive here at the bottom of the pyramid.
Right now, Travis, you sound a lot like the DE agent that is investigating Terry Gross for this whole ring. And so maybe examine yourself.
Was it a ring or a triangle?
It was a... Terry called it a sexagon.
Oh, in a cool winky way? Terry Gross is like,
I think the first time... This was in Slack, so it could have been a good-natured typo that then Terry Gross felt like Terry Gross needed to stick with. Your name is so good to say.
Sometimes I just get so excited about recording this podcast with you guys. That was really one of these times. As soon as I hit the record button, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And that's why, because we did three shows last week.
Thank
three
you again, whole
everybody
shows.
Who came out
to your
New York Comic Con. We appreciate you.
And Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, y'all are wild.
Philadelphia scared me bad with the energy.
Did y'all hear the Philadelphia show? Did they? Did we run that this week?
I don't think so. I don't believe so.
That would have been impossible.
The maddest an audience has ever been at us, and it's just because I talked about Dolph Lundgren making up a chicken Philly sandwich, and they were booing. You'll hear some things on that show. That was a wild one.
Fun energy, though.
Fun energy.
I love
fun
it.
Energy.
It was like riding a Bronco.
I felt like a heel. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I felt like
sure.
One of the bad,
fucking
bad
gold
wrestlers.
Gold dust, yeah.
This is an advice show.
Yeah.
And I want to get into it. That's enough preamble.
How many questions do you think we can do this week?
Let's see, Trav. I have a 4-year-old son I've recently shown the song Ghostbusters to. There is a line in the song about how busting makes me feel good.
Very good.
That he sings at the top of his lungs. I don't want to crush his Halloween spirit and stop playing the song for him, but I don't want my four-year-old talking about busting. How should I handle this? This is from Ghostbuster Greg in Tampa. Okay.
Why not?
Do you love ghosts? I don't understand why this would... Do you love ghosts and you hate the idea of them getting busted? Is
fucking go woke, go broke, Dad. Like, we're allowed to... We're allowed. If we can't offend ghosts, where are we at, man?
That's too loud, Trav. That's so loud.
It's really loud.
You know how I get passionate about this.
I know. But that was like clipping a new character called Clipping Guy Clipping Who Travis. Loves Ghostbusters, which I think we all got around the time that the Ghostbusters remake came out.
Yeah,
we
was
that
it
character
this.
From different people.
The song Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. This is a question that I've never thought about it until now. Do you think that Ray Parker Jr., when he submitted, he slid across the desk, an audio cassette, this is my demo.
Yeah.
And they hit play. Do you think when they got to Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good, do you think Ray Parker looked at the executives like, huh? Get it?
And the executives said, this will go great with the scene where Dan Aykroyd gets a blowjob from a ghost.
Do you think it's that? Or do you think he was like, I don't know, I guess like busting, like ghost busting, it makes them feel good to bust ghosts.
You guys gave me like 10 minutes to do it.
Any innuendo planned or intended by Mr. Parker Jr.?
Planned.
No. I'm not saying like people could read this as sexual. Do you think anyone was like, guys, this reads wildly sexual. And this is in a movie where a man gets a blowjob from a ghost.
I don't think wildly sexual. I think he obfuscated the innuendo by using almost entirely the music from Huey Lewis's I Want a New Drug. So I think they were like, I got a lot of questions. And he was like, is it about the busting line? They said, no. That actually is not the biggest thing I want to discuss here, Ray Parker Jr. I would like to discuss how you just fully lifted the entire music track.
This is a Mandela effect thing, actually. Because at no point in the song does Ray Parker Jr. actually say, Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good. It's just a thing that everybody thinks that he says.
Is that what it is?
It's a Mandela. It's a classic Mandela, like the Berenstain Bears.
You know,
He actually says, Justin makes me feel good.
I'm now realizing there is a shot in the video where Ray Parker Jr., there's a woman sleeping in a bed in lingerie. The sheet is pulled from her by an invisible man.
Yeah.
And then Ray Parker Jr., like an auto mechanic underneath a Ferrari, just slides out of nowhere to drop his bust and makes you feel good. I think maybe Ray knew exactly what he was doing.
One might argue, Justin, that in the late 80s, early 90s, whenever this was exactly, they didn't care that everybody was just so like, listen, the world's great. We're all very rich. Cocaine flows like wine. Nothing's ever going to be bad again. Yeah, man, invisible man sleeping in your bed. I guess that's a job for the Ghostbusters. That line's always confusing.
If not them.
But the invisible man, not a ghost.
Do you guys think that the Ghostbusters are listed on like contractor finding sites like Angie's List?
Yeah, definitely.
Are there competitors?
Yeah, the Ghost Crankers.
Ghost Comers is another one.
Call us, Ghostgasm.
Ghostgasm coming makes me feel great.
I love it.
I enjoy orgasming to ghosts. DuckTales,
Do you guys ever think about the celebrity cameos in the Ghostbusters video and get delighted all over again?
No.
The video, if you haven't watched it, has this section where celebrities just pop up on a screen and say the word Ghostbusters with varying levels of enthusiasm. List of people includes George Wendt, Al Franken, Danny DeVito, Carly Simon, Peter Falk.
Mm-hmm. Peter Falk's in there.
Think about poor Peter Falk. Ghostbuster.
One more Ghostbuster.
The movie wasn't out. Everyone is like, hey, Peter Falk, look into the fucking camera and say the word Ghostbusters. He's like, what is this? What could this be for? Why do I have to say you say a lot of words into a camera, Peter. You say whatever we tell you right now. We're telling you Ghostbusters.
You got it. Yeah. Let me get a second take at that. Ghostbusters. Nailed it. Yeah. You got it.
It was actually, hauntingly, it was John Candy's last Ghostbusters video.
Oh. And was it his first also?
This is first and last Ghostbusters music video.
Hey, you don't have to worry about this question asker because either the any teacher or whatever that this child says is around will immediately get the Rast Friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, it's such a human, right? Yeah, like, and if they don't, that's actually on them. At this point, Busta Makes Me Feel Good, I think, has transcended knowing that, like, ever seeing the movie.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're fine. Also, when four-year-olds say shit like that, it's awesome and great.
That's the other thing is, even if they don't get the reference, it's always funny when a kid says something that they shouldn't say. Almost yeah. without exception, it kicks ass.
Don't you
it's
worry.
One of the great pleasures of my life is how Justin's children... It's one of the few pleasures in my life is how Justin's children's always say things to him that they should, that probably a child shouldn't say to an adult.
Yeah.
We don't do any of that... The filtering of language. We're pretty mm-hmm. open in our household. Well, yes. I figure daddy makes his living from working blue. The kids should, if I had started working blue a lot younger, mm-hmm. we thought about this. Our parents deprived us of some of our best cursing years. Think about how good we would be at cursing now if we were allowed to start when we
and
were
And we're
five.
Already pretty good at it.
We're pretty good at it. We try to make up for it with
Not
some
me.
On-the-job
I'm
training.
I'm a good boy who I don't curse a lot. Not like Grayman.
Okay, yeah, proportionally, perhaps
we've talked
right,
about
but.
This.
We have the numbers.
Just let it fly.
What?
Just let the kid fly.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the ghosts again.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to just curse away. Fly. Curse away, Travis.
Okay. Hey, can we go to the wizard? Because it's a good one, I think.
Oh, okay.
Siobhan sent it in. Thank you.
You know when you do that, you're retroactively saying, like, some of them are real shit, right?
No,
like,
no, I mean, some of them just... I don't feel the same way about every single thing, Travis. I'm not a Cyberman
not
or
yet.
Anything like that.
Give it time. If the studios get what they want, we'll all be Cybermen. Am I right?
Yes.
I'm not 100% sure what the strike is.
That's what they want. They want to switch out our organs with cyber organs.
Oh, no.
This is the Terry Gross pee-pee medicine all over again. I mean, pee-pee vitamins. Sorry, did I say medicine?
You can't call it medicine.
Terry is going to be so fucking PO'd, guys, at me for PPO'd. Saying that. Hey.
Hey.
How to enjoy Ferrero Rocher.
Ooh. I have some strong thoughts about this.
I bet you do. This delicious layered chocolate has led the best of us to wonder how best we can enjoy its goodness. It must be stated that eating this particular chocolate is equally a science and an art.
Whoa,
so
it's a science?
And an art, so if you want to become a master, you've come to the right place.
Can we, just right now, take a second. When we were growing up, like, to me, there were these things that I was taught via television that, like, oh, this is, that's the peak. That's
I
why
wasn't good enough.
Billionaires eat these on their private jets, right? Like, that was
the
just.
The height of elegance.
That, it was that and serving cat food to cats on like crystal dishes where I was like, well, one day I'll be able to eat a Ferrero Rocher while I give my cat their little whatever Caesars on a crystal dish and I'll know I've made it.
Right. It was those and those wild ice cream cakes that I can't remember the name. They had little ice cream cakes that were drizzled.
Viennetta.
Viennetta. Yes.
I always saw that and Grey Poupon and I was just like, well, that's just, I'll never have that.
Yeah, that's not a layer of wealth.
And Fancy Feast.
Yeah.
They serve it in the crystal dish.
I love the crystal dish.
Good.
I often thought I wish I ate that well. I don't know what's in the food, but I don't get crystal dishes, and I'm a boy.
When I had my first Ferrero Rocher in my 26th year, oh, what a delight that was.
At the ceremony?
At the ceremony. The Rocher-ing. Hey, step one. Step one.
Keep your grades up.
Step one. Keep your grades up there.
You got to take the bottom wrapper off.
Step 1.5, open the wrapping very carefully. Pull off the brown part gently while unwrapping the gold layer without tearing it. Unlike other wrappings, this one is not only too good to be destroyed, but can amuse you in your idle hours.
Wait.
If you are into origami and paper folding.
I don't want to brag, but I have some Ferrero Rocher in the house right now.
Do you? I would kill for a Rocher.
Well,
right now.
Teresa and I was recently on our 10-year anniversary, and the place that we went to like do like a couple spa day, and they were like, "And here you go." And like sitting on the table in like our like waiting room
was some Ferrero Rocher. And they were like, and that's for you. That's for you to take. And it was like a box of like 50 of them. Holy and we're like, okay. But that was on our last stop of the day. So then we did spend the rest of the day just like a secret agent with like an important briefcase, like handcuffed to their wrist, just walking around with a box of Ferrero Rocher. Like, yeah, these are ours.
I'm surprised you haven't torn those bad boys down yet.
Oh, we're about halfway through.
Okay.
Put them in the ground.
Absorb the visual beauty of the perfectly spherical divine nut sprinkled surface.
They're not perfectly spherical. They're nut sprinkled. How can you say it?
No. Travis, if you blew up the Ferrero Rocher to Earth scale, it would be smoother than the smoothest pool ball ever constructed.
Okay. Well, you make an excellent point, Griffin. I simply can't.
I saw Neil deGrasse
that.
Tyson say that on TikTok one time. Yeah. And he knows Ferrero Rochers, so...
Yeah, he does. He's always eating them on camera, which is weird.
Yeah.
He's like, every time Neil deGrasse Tyson does a thing, he's like, to make my point, I'd love... the best visual thing I could do is related to Ferrero Rocher, and I might make a few mistakes, so bring some extra. Mm-hmm. And I will use that to demonstrate about meteors or fucking, you know.
Whatever, dinosaurs, who the fuck cares?
Bring 80. I guess what I'm saying is bring 80.
The inertia of this Ferrero Rocher as it travels to my mouth. That's not what inertia is. When it goes this fast, this is where it becomes.
Ferrero Rocher equals munch plus flavor equal what? Don't worry about it. Do you know who the fuck I am?
Neil, we've cut.
Oh, okay, we've cut. Oops, I tripped onto the Ferrero Rocher again.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I just got so delighted by that mental image. Inhale and soak in the aroma of the hazelnut chocolate that gently tickles your nose.
Now, okay.
It doesn't say inhale through the nose. So, okay. And I need my instructions on WikiHow to be pretty explicit.
It might be like both at the same time, right? You're trying, let's see if you can get a...
I just gave myself a terrible headache.
Yeah, I hated doing it. Yeah. I'm also, as you're doing this, Griffin, I'm just picturing somebody sitting anywhere in public and I'm watching them do this step by step.
I'm doing nothing. I'm ignoring my family. I have thrown my phone in the garbage can. Yeah. I am only watching this person delight.
This is the filming of the plastic bag in American Beauty of it's like, exactly well, this that. Is. This
oh,
is
shit.
It
oh, God, guys. Oh, fuck. Step five, exhale. I'm so sorry we didn't tell you guys that fast.
Oh, God.
You can't sit on it that long, Griff.
Tragedy struck today. Tens of listeners to the popular, well, formerly popular podcast, My Brother and Me, have passed out while driving.
Finally, it's time to move into the eating part of the experience. God, this step varies. Days. This step varies from individual to individual, but there are two broad approaches under which most individual techniques fall. One, if you are patient by nature and prefer to savor something good slowly, then you will probably want to take the layer-by-layer approach. If you're a person who likes to take in something wonderful all at once, then you might take the pop-it-in approach.
Layer-by-layer?
Yeah.
It's like the size of a quarter. What are you talking about?
No.
Like you bite the wafer layer.
No, Justin...
You remove the entire outer layer?
You're about to say some really foolish shit. So why don't you let the professionals at WikiHow tell you how to eat it layer by layer.
Okay.
One, start by carefully nibbling or licking the topmost layer, chocolate mixed with nuts.
Oh,
there's
God.
Photos with all these that I won't show you guys.
Because
but
it's
I never actually want to eat a Ferrero Rocher again. Continue by savoring the next layers consisting of wafer and pure chocolate.
If you savor those wafers too long, then... thank you, by the way, Monty Python, the meaning of life, for fucking up the way we say wafer for our entire life.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Huge for us.
So huge. If you leave it in there too long, you get gummy.
Yes, that's true. You miss out on the delicate
crunch. Do you like ruining your Ferrero Rocher liar by liar? We've got to. You got to savor the wafer liar by liar.
If you savor the wafer liar, it's not a jawbreaker. This thing's going to become... bad in the mouth, I think, which is a crime to do to a Ferrero Rocher. I'm so sorry. Step three, put the nut right into your mouth fully and crunch it down. Not partially. fully into the mouth, crunch it down.
Does it say crunch it down?
With which teeth? We'll circle back to that. We'll come back to that.
For next time.
The pop it in approach. Do you need help? Hey, do you need help to how to put in a candy into your mouth? It's called the pop it in approach. You know there's probably just the one.
Which hole?
I put it in my ear.
I can't taste it.
You're driving me crazy with this fucking gatekeeping.
This
is just because you eat candy all the time, like some sort of dirty little raccoon, doesn't mean that other people are so good at eating. What if it was like, first off, take the carburetor out. There's car guys who are like,
yeah, they would get that. Yeah.
And listen, maybe there are some people on this podcast who have never eaten like a complicated looking candy, like say a Toblerone, right? And they're afraid to do it.
You try to get it all sideways.
Like, having to go to the emergency room or something. You don't know what you're doing. How much do they unwrap at a time? Like how many chunks is normal?
Yeah, I'll actually say it, Trav. There's no pleasing bite of a Toblerone. There's no pleasant amount of wedges you put in your mouth and you're like, oh, good.
Bad shape. It's triangle.
It's a bad shape. They fall off the shelves all the time because of the stupid shape.
It feels like putting a tortilla, like a Dorito in your mouth, point up.
Yes.
Closing your mouth on it. No good, Toblerone.
So unpleasant.
Try again.
Just get a symphony bar.
Check this out. It's Toblerone. That's a circle.
Make a round candy bar.
I don't mind a challenge.
A toffee. Give me a Heath. Give me a score. I'll work at it.
Because I can make my mouth also like,
yeah,
candy bar shape.
And I find it in my teeth later.
You're turning yourself into a real gift farm today. you're going to be living with these. If Tom decides to get this into the cloud, you're going to be ruined.
I'm a Heath bar vending machine right now.
And receptacle.
Right in there. Make my mouth look
Leave
like
a Heath
like
bar,
a
take
child.
A Heath bar.
It's like a child puzzle where you hammer the shapes into the things. That's a Heath.
Griffin went reverse viral on TikTok. Videos of him, images of him being deleted from the internet at an incredible speed.
Start by popping the entire Ferrero Rocher candy in your mouth.
I already ate the fuck. What do you
it's
mean?
Gone.
I already ate the nut in one bite.
No. That's if you take the Larmalire approach, Justin. Yeah. This is if you poop it in.
This is poop it in. Sink your teeth in so that the outermost layer and the wafer layer crack, spilling the liquid chocolate into your mouth. One. That's not a gusher.
This person hasn't eaten one.
No.
This is how they plan to eat their first. This is the first one.
This is their fan fiction for Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah.
Scrape the metal filings out of the center.
Now, avoid the elf that lives in the middle that punishes attackers.
It will be spicy, and that'll scare you. That's okay. When the hot soup comes into your mouth from the inside, it's so good. Okay. So you've cracked, just to check in, you guys have cracked open the wafer liar and spilled the liquid chocolate into your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Next to what I want you to do, and this is the most important part, is to roll the nut over in this tasty mixture till all the chocolate dissolves and all the nuts are finally ground by your teeth.
We're going to have to put an NC-17 rating on this episode.
That's what this person has just described is chewing. And that makes food. I love it. It's so exciting to eat a Ferrero Rocher. You just made chewing kind of horrifying in a very like body horror-esque way. Like, yeah, I know that's what's going on in there, but I don't have to see it because I chew with my mouth closed like a little gentleman.
I don't like it anymore. Chewing.
Swallow.
I'm getting less. This is actually like helping me to want one less.
Oh my God. Guys, you're not even seeing the pictures. I never want to eat one of these fucking guys again.
At the beginning, I was so excited that I had them in the house. And now I'm wondering, like, can I throw it away without anyone noticing?
Can I get them out of the house?
I want to make things clear. There's four steps left in this article, and each one is not being made up by me, Griffin McElroy.
Okay.
I'm not this good. Step four, swallow. Be careful to swallow everything except the nut.
What?
Step five, savor the rough surface of the nut before letting your molars sink in, crushing it into tiny bits, which form the sweetest aftertaste, and then swallow.
So the molars.
The molars is the answer.
You okay, Juice?
I think Justin's calling the police.
Molars was the answer. Molars are the strong nut crunching teeth that Guy gave us to crunch the middle.
Okay,
of
so it's what are the front ones? The bicuspid, whatever. Front teeth to gnaw.
Front ones are useless to me.
That, no, you got to gnaw away. Front teeth. You got to gnaw away the outer nut chocolate layer with your front teeth. Then use your incisors, your fangs. To release the chocolate from
that's
around
what
the
used
nut.
To pierce the shell in order to release the chocolate soup.
And then you use the tube in those to suck the chocolate through
the
chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. And then the molars to crush the nut.
Right.
And then the tongue to dance
well,
it all
around.
Well,
you skip the part where you playfully roll the nut around in the chocolate nut mess that you made in your mouth by chewing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And do they include what moans and other noises you should make while you do that, or is that just dealer's choice?
Oh, Trav, there's two more steps. Step six, keep your mouth closed and lick your teeth
keep
to remember.
Up, keep your mouth closed.
Keep your mouth closed. Keep your grades
see
up.
See something? Keep your mouth fucking
keep
shut.
Keep your mouth
Ferrero
closed.
Rocher.
Lick your teeth. To remember the exquisite piece of enjoyment just experienced. What did I just do? What did I just do? Why does my mouth feel like this?
Oh, yeah. What
I happened? Must remember. Oh, yes. I found a nut piece. What a delightful treasure I have left for myself.
Excuse me, everyone. I need complete silence. I'm revisiting the memory of eating a Ferrero Rocher.
I have seconds ago.
I have discovered one of the tiny nut bits that I crushed into my molars
after
shaving the rough
back.
Surface of the nut.
Hey, did you brush your teeth tonight, babe? I did not. I feel there are still a few glorious scraps somewhere in there. And
sweet,
I can't
precious memories all.
Baby, that was 3 days ago. I'll buy you more Ferrero Rochers. No, you don't understand.
Would that it was that simple. I found the process of eating the first one so exhausting. Mm-hmm. That I dare not
took
attempt
me
it again.
Took me 45 minutes to enjoy one of these little nut mysteries.
With one hand on the mouse and one hand on the candy the whole time, it was quite a feat.
In retrospect, I should have read through the whole article before beginning instead of doing it cold. But alas, here we are, and I'm sorry I missed the birth of our child.
There is one step left. What do you guys think it is?
Moan.
Justin.
Bye. Get another one back to start and repeat. Incorrect.
No, guys. Meditate.
Throw your trash away?
Meditate.
Nuh-uh.
Get the fuck
no
out.
Matter what means you take to the end, this last step is common to all. This is the meditation step.
God damn it.
The layer by layer the layer by layer followers already sample this in their stages, but a more wholesome pause is needed. To recollect and remember the wonderful experience.
I hate
the fact that you are not making this up is baffling to me, Griffin. I'm having a hard time with this one.
People are trying to be present and connect with themselves in this sweet chocolate right now. So this last step is vital because thinking of how good the chocolate was leads to a repetition of all the above steps, thereby doubling your already heightened pleasure. Thank you so much. Namaste, WikiHow. Thank you so much.
Namaste.
We could all learn something from that, is that you don't need to eat 25 Ferrero Rochers. You can just eat one and remember it over and over again, each time going into your mind palace. My mind palace is just one big Ferrero Rocher I ate once back in 2014.
Like a James of the Giant Peach kind of thing, and you're living in there?
I can make it be whatever size I want. I can make it, look, watch, Trev. It's real small, but there's 1,000 of them. I did that in my mind, in my Ferrero Rocher mind palace.
Oh, wow.
You guys ever try the other ones, the pretenders to the throne?
No. Is there like a Lego brick inside?
There's the white chocolate one.
Gross.
What are those called? You know, the
other Ferrero Rocher.
No, good, like Trav. The good one. Oh, they got that, you know, like they're white. They're so good. What are they called?
Tastations.
No! What are they called?
Oh, they're white ones. They're called the Money Zone.
Raffaello.
No, they're called Raffaello. The Money Zone. No, the Money Zone.
The Money Zone is what they're called.
They're called the Money Zone.
Presented by Raffaello.
It's better with you.
You got something in your heart, a dream, a wish, a
I
plan,
do.
A scheme.
Yeah.
Any of it. Whatever you want to do. No,
a murmur, a little machine that makes it go fast or slow depending on how fast you need to run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Extra valves for safety's sake. No one knows.
Dennis Quaid. There,
just let me.
Okay.
You know?
Turbo vein. Turbo veins.
Turbo vein. Another smaller heart.
Yeah.
Whatever the liquid that Bane used to get
strong. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Little hey, venom. Listen, maybe gorilla parts.
Adrenaline shot from John Travolta. Whatever it is. Whatever it is.
There's all kinds of things in there. It's a marvel.
You got to make a website about it if you want anybody to take you seriously. If you don't have a website, you're the joke of the town. Without a website, you're the joke of the town. But if you don't know how to make a website, good news is on the horizon, because our friends at Squarespace, probably the longest time supporter of this podcast.
And only this one. They don't advertise anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yes. If you've heard about them, you've heard about them here.
Just from us. They love our shit, man.
But it's a really great service if you don't have experience building websites, or maybe you have, you found it too complex, or you don't think you know how to make a really good one that looks very professional. Squarespace is the service. They have professional website designers that make templates where you just bring in your images, bring in your text, and they're going to help you make it look great. If you have an idea, Squarespace is going to help you bring it into the digital world. That's amazing. That's a gift.
Mm-hmm. They're like
this
Morpheus.
Is best
they're
in
like
class.
They're Morpheus from the Matrix.
Yeah.
If you want to sell stuff too, that's no problem.
You're Neo.
That's
from
no
the
problem.
Matrix.
They got a huge suite of tools, fantastic customer service. Whatever you need, Squarespace has your back. And you can try it yourself. Go to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Do you guys know why Spider-Man loves Squarespace so much?
Oh, something about the web?
He loves building websites.
I hope to God that you would in some way subvert that.
Yeah.
Something, man.
Nope.
It really
something
felt
in there.
Like you were, I was all primed for some Travis Gold.
No, nope.
Yeah. That was pyrite if I ever heard
Hey,
it.
You know what? I love you guys.
Why does Spider-Man love Squarespace so much?
Why?
Because of their best-in-class fluid website design system. Because of their incredible video editor suite. Like, you could have said so many things that Squarespace would have paid us for. You know
hey
what
guys,
I mean?
Just, I don't want, we're off their dime. At this point, I don't
You're
want to
right.
say anything else nice about Squarespace.
Let me take the punch card out of that one, walk yeah. over to NetSuite.
Hey, do you know why Spider-Man loves NetSuite?
Why is that, Travis?
Well, it's because, you know, you're falling behind.
He's a small business owner.
He's a small business owner. He's trying to get pictures of Spider-Man, pictures of himself. That's hard when you're by yourself.
It shouldn't be. If he's Spider-Man, it should be pretty fucking easy to take. Yeah, well, he should be best equipped to do this job more than
if he's turning
else.
In selfies, you don't think J. Jonah Jameson would be like, wait, what the fuck? These are, oh, wait a minute. And so if this is you, if this sounds like you, then you should know these three numbers. 36,251 Spider-Man.
Yeah.
36,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle.
It's also how many people that the Green Goblin has killed.
It's
and
sad,
this is why
true.
We need Spider-Man more than ever.
25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs.
So does Tobey Maguire, the original Spider-Man. Happy 25th birthday, Toby.
And one, because your business is one of a kind, so you get customized solutions to all your KPIs. That's key performance indicators, which Spider-Man loves. In one efficient system with one source of truth, manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins.
It doesn't have the key performance indicators highlighted, Trav. I think that's just in case it's there for you, in case you're
that's
dumb
a secret,
dumb.
Travis.
Doesn't
note.
Know what a KPI is. I, of course, know
yeah,
and love
yeah.
KPIs.
I just know I that whenever Spider-Man captures, like, the Rhino, he's like, I couldn't have done it without NetSuite's KPIs.
Right.
And so I just want to make sure everybody knows, because it's everything you need all in one place. Just like Spider-Man. He's got everything yes. you need all in one place. NetSuite is kind of the Spider-Man of tools for your business.
Right.
Right? And so just like Spider-Man was unprecedented before it came around. At that point, no one had thought about combining the powers of spiders and the like
right.
fallibilities
yeah.
of
it's
a teenage
like Spider-Man's
man.
Famous utility belt.
Yes.
It's uh-huh. got all the tools.
And with great power comes great key performance indicators.
Indeed.
Is what my Uncle Ben told me before he died tragically on the toilet.
I do still feel bad about that. Why did I let that robber into his bathroom? I don't know, man. I feel bad. He said, I'm going to kill your Uncle Ben while he's on the toilet. And he said, I said, he's not my Uncle Ben. He's Griffin's by marriage.
Yeah.
And he said,
whether or not you let your Uncle Ben get killed on the toilet is a key performance indicator. He's indicating how well you're protecting your Uncle Ben in a really key fashion.
Maybe if Uncle Ben hadn't kicked my ass up and down the wrestling ring.
Uncle Ben is ready.
I thought Sam Raimi took a lot of liberties, but I loved that change.
Remember when Peter Parker wrestled with Uncle Ben so hard that he killed him, and then he realized he had to fight crime?
Yeah, and then he said the rest of the movie, I'm like, I feel responsible. And Aunt May was like, you are responsible.
You are.
You did. You did it.
You tombstoned him so hard. He
several times. Several times. Bruce Campbell begged you to stop. And you just kept going.
You kept tombstoning Grim Uncle Ben.
You tombstoned him 36,000 times.
He blew his spot. He blew his spot. He's an old man. He blew his spot. I told him to get out of the game.
Yeah.
You made him look all flat like a Wile E. Coyote manhole cover.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
And
to
then
him?
You're like, I just feel like it was my fault. Yeah, Spider-Man. It was. So right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/mybrother. That's netsuite.com/mybrother to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/mybrother. Please don't tell them about this ad. Thank you so much.
Please. Guys, sometimes this show makes me laugh so hard that I cry so hard that my glasses fog up.
That's great. That's a great sign. It's a key performance indicator of comedy.
Of our show.
I meant to leave some silence at the end of the ad for the whole boardroom of NetSuite to stand up and start slowly applauding.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Money well spent.
They can do that. They can do that right here.
People say not to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree.
Which is why here on Just the Zoo of Us, we judge them by so much more.
We rate animals out of 10 in the categories of effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics, taking into consideration each animal's true strengths, like a pigeon's ability to tell a Monet from a Picasso or a polar bear's ability to play basketball.
Guest experts like biologists, ecologists, and more join us to share their unique insight into the animal's world.
Listen with friends and family of all ages on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
It's the final week of Co-Optober. I'm Kira Gowan, Ad Operations Specialist, and I'm here with...
Daniel Barwella, Technology and Data Specialist. To cap off National Co-op Month, we're sharing how worker-owned co-ops can benefit their communities. Read about it in our newsletter or on social media at MaxFunHQ.
We're also trying to do our part. We're volunteering at our local food bank this week, and we encourage you to volunteer in your area too.
On Friday, we're announcing the donation that you helped raise in the post-Max Fund Drive sticker sale, going to 5 food banks across the U.S.
And we want to make sure you know that this is your last chance to get our limited edition Co-op Launch Crew merch.
Grab a pin, hat, shirt, or hoodie before they disappear at the end of the month.
Details on merch, resources for volunteering, and all things Co-Optober can be found at MaximumFun.org/Co-Optober.
That's Cooptober. Thank you so much for your support and have a great Co-Optober.
All right, here's another question. Let's do another question. Here's one. I am a therapist, the mental health kind, who has some stomach issues at times. Normally, I take my morning constitutional between 8 and 9 o'clock sessions. By then, my coffee's in full effect and things typically go smoothly. Sometimes, though, my IBS and coffee tag team me. On rare occasions, I have to excuse myself mid-session to take care of my urgent business. What is the most elegant or least embarrassing / damaging way to politely excuse myself and return to session? Therapy is supposed to be about the client, so I don't want to turn my poop problems into a deal and take away from their therapy. That's from Counselor Cramp by Crap. I have no fucking clue.
I can't relate to this one. Weirdly, like, I usually can find some foothold in the questions that we receive on this show. This one's got me flummoxed.
I tell you, guys, I think yesterday I was talking with, I don't want to name drop here, but my friend Felicia Day.
And she was describing expertise in exactly this scenario.
That is
she was like, if anyone ever needed help with this thing, I'd love to be there.
I think she's got something to promote, so let me try to call her.
Okay.
Wait, why did you have to press numbers again?
Was that, what are you doing?
Bring, 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 bring. Hello?
Hi. Hi, Felicia, this is Justin McElroy.
Oh, hi, Just.
Hey.
Can we talk about Fourth Wing again? Oh, my God, Zayden.
Oh, my God, Zayden.
Guys, you can't talk about Fourth Wing again. We have important, pressing business.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to have a spinoff podcast of just me and Justin.
Call Fifth Wing. There's a good amount of people that would listen to Justin McElroy, Felicia Day's Fourth Wing
Hey, the sequel's almost out. Oh!
You only have to do one episode and then another one this fall. We're good. It's easy.
Is it Fifth Wing? Is it
a prequel?
Do you see the lack of entertainment that we are displaying? Like, this isn't something to joke around. Do you know the peril the kingdom's in? And you're gonna
Felicia, do you know anything about Ibs? Because this question asker has Ibs, I guess, and
IBS?
Yeah.
Oh, I know a lot. Oh, I'm such an expert in this. This is amazing. Did you know I had poop problems too?
What?
No, I didn't.
No.
Trav said he did, but I didn't believe him.
I knew.
Okay. Okay. You do? Because I've seen you at a bunch of conventions.
Yeah.
For some reason, you don't.
I barely see you. I barely see you at conventions because you're always in and out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Suddenly you just jump up and go, I got to go. And you run out of the room.
The problem with the three of us is everybody's always calling us the normal poop brothers.
Yeah.
Because it's
it's really bad.
So normal. And so it's a therapist who sometimes has to excuse themselves during the session to go drop ass, and I wanted to see what you would advise them about how to a cool, chill way of swinging that.
So I think we need to first start with some empathy, since it's a therapist, and think about that everybody's poop is not the same, and I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Okay, can you zero in on that? Speak on that, please.
Are you guys a 9 a.m.er? You know, do you have a 24-hour poop cycle in your life where you're just I know I'm going to need to go after my coffee? Right after breakfast.
Mine, it's funny you ask.
Mine is more of a monthly cycle, but.
A monthly, that's great. Mine is after I drop my kids off at school, I smash through the door of my home like the Incredible Hulk and barrel through the hallway, leaving claw marks, ripping photos down as I sprint in a mad dash against fate just to try to reach my toilet. That's every day for me. That's my daily session.
If I venture more than 30 minutes away from my home, and then upon returning, like the animals in the Amazing Journey, where the dogs come back and the cat comes back, that's my gut to the toilet. My gut is so excited; it's basically wagging its proverbial tail. And there's no time to celebrate getting home. Time to go.
I'm just after breakfast, after dinner, one in, one out.
Okay, you're a two poo a day. That's incredible. That's feels excessive, but okay.
My body is a food bag, and when food goes in the food bag, food has to be room in the food bag. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
There's two.
One time after getting a massage, the therapist was trying to sell me things, as often happens, and they asked me how many bowel movements I have a day, and I said one. And they said, the problem is you eat three meals a day, and you're only having one bowel movement a day. So you're getting stuff backed up. And I didn't have the heart to tell this person, hey, that means that over my lifetime, what you're presupposing is there's thousands of BMs backed up in my body. Yeah. I don't think that's how that works.
If I slam a quick bag of Doritos when no one's looking, a little snack-sized kid bag, I'm not going to have a snack-sized kid poop later. That's not the way
Justin, because you turn it into fuel to make jokes.
Yeah, Doritos are one-for-one fuel. There's no leftover. There's
it's kindling. Cool Ranch.
Oh, there's a little
cool
bit
Cool Ranch
left.
That's more of a drama.
Yeah.
That's
for dramatic. Cool Ranch for drama. Nacho cheese for comedy. That's what we've always said.
Right.
Well, anyway, IBS is it's a lower bowel thing. I'm not a doctor, and I'm going to talk about a lot of things that it's like, Felicia, you're not a doctor. I'm going to do it anyway. So IBS is when you have loose stool, all right? So you really just got to go. And as someone who's worked the last 2 months on my poop to do the opposite, okay? So I'm going to get graphic here, and I really hope people plug their ears. Don't picture it. I, for some reason, because I was on a lot of antibiotics a couple years ago or whatever, I developed this thing called SIBO, which is an overgrowth of bad bacteria in my lower intestine, which causes either slip and slide poops, like the IBS person you're talking about. You can't keep them in. You poop after you eat immediately, or you got them stopped up. I got the stopped up time. Okay. So I took a poop test about 2 months ago to try to deal with this. And you're supposed to, okay, have you ever done a poop test, you guys?
Is it multiple choice?
No. It's where you poop in what looks to be like a tater tot container.
Yeah.
And then you scoop the little pieces of poop.
Sorry. Quick bookmark. That meant nothing. Just a quick bookmark. That
I've never had a bespoke container for my tater tots.
Tater tot container does not, it doesn't convey ideas. Is what I'm saying.
I've received tater tots in so many different vessels.
Yeah, we're not California elite. Is there a thing? Right. Do you guys say in California, do you have things like one might put a deviled egg in, but for individual tots?
All right. Listen, you go to the fair, you get the little paper thing with the red stuff on the outside, and they either give you a hot dog or a tater tot or some kind of
paper boat.
Paper boat. I didn't know they had a Midwest term for it.
I think that's just Griffin's term for it.
Anyway. Okay,
from now on, it's just called a poop test boat. A better name for it.
Can you give me the corn dog in the poop test boat? Yeah that's exactly what we should do at the next fair. Anyway, they send you this and like 9 vials, and you're supposed to poop into this precision poop, into this small paper vessel, and you're supposed to use a little spoon to scoop little pieces of your poo into all the vials, mix them up, and then send them to see what your vial is.
Wait, mix them up to confuse them? Like, you'll never guess.
Play a quick shell game.
If I had that much control over my bowels to, like, precision poop, I wouldn't need this test.
It's true. Yeah. It was very harrowing to, like, just, like, I think I was under my butthole, but I wasn't sure. I hate this. And I'm like, let's hit it. Hopefully, but don't pee in it afterward. It's like a lot of coordination down there.
You're going to want to. It's going to feel right, but you can't.
You can't do it.
You got to send that to pee scientists. That's a whole different discipline. They didn't go to pee doctor
school. Whole different paper boat. Anyway, so then I'll just be transparent. My poops were so hard.
Have you been holding back up till now?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
My poops were so hard, I just had to plop them in. Because it was like I couldn't even dig into them with the spoon.
You had to get a serrated knife.
Hard. Yeah, I had to have a cleaver.
Hey, honey, bring the laser engraver over here. I gotta sin.
It's like ASMR videos of people using like high strength water jets to like cut through nickel or something.
So Justin looks so concerned. You're preparing your droppings to roast for coffee, and what happens next?
It's like a civet. All right. Anyway, I send it in. My microbiome is so bad. I don't have any acidophilus. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
So I have to go through this 8-week diet to try to get rid of the SIBO stuff. And all these supplements. I have a naturopath, integrative medicine person helping me. I have to tell you right now, I'm a 24-hour pooper, and it's a nice texture, and it's fine.
No,
and
hold on. You can't.
Hold on. That's everybody.
Not good.
You mean every 24 hours or just 24 hours, seven days a week?
You're
pooping a little bit all the time.
No. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, once a day. Okay, I'm a 9 a.m. pooper.
That's great.
Anyway, I just want to tell you that if you have poop problems, there is a solution. Just be aggressive. Yeah. There's probably something wrong with your diet or whatever, and be aggressive about fixing it. I'm not saying IBS is easy to fix. I'm just saying this is an issue that a lot of people deal with, and I have a lot of sympathy for this therapist.
And if you're going to take healthcare advice from any podcast, this is the one.
It's this one right here.
This is it.
I want to throw this out. You've given me a lot to think on. I'm going to have to step into my thinkatorium for a few minutes.
Oh, step away. You're the therapist. It's such a good point they've made. You're like, gosh, that's really.
Oh, yeah.
No one's ever had this issue before. You're more fucked up than anything I've ever heard. I don't need to think on this. And Mayo, let me take this newspaper with me just in case my brain catches fire.
I do have to. Shout out to whoever your 9 o'clock appointments are, because they have certainly noticed at this point they're in the waiting room. It's like, I've got a great therapist. Every time right before my appointment, they blast out of the bathroom. just they're always in there. They're always in the can, and they blast out of the can and come and give me the help.
Follow me! This way!
I think it would be very affirming If a therapist, yes. I've given them all of my like my quirks and foibles. I would love to know there's a real human being on the other side of the.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay,
I'm sitting there telling you about my problems with my parents, and you're like, "Gotta go poo." I need a better preamble. I need a setup. I need an exit line. You know.
Yeah. Mm.
So what I would do is be like, you know, I need to take a break right now. I'll be back in 1 minute, but I want to leave you with this thought. Mm-hmm. And then you leave them kind of thinking about something in a profound way and let it linger. Yes. And then maybe in their mind, they'll be like, wow, they're such a good therapist that they gave me space to really contemplate this one thing a bit longer than we would normally.
Also, so they were kind of shaking and sweating when they left.
I'm going to my tummy.
The last thing they said to me, I'll never forget. They said, fuck, 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 fuck.
Oh, fuck, oh, fuck. Oh, no, not again.
Would you buy this if the therapist is like, I can tell you're being guarded with me right now, and that's understandable. I want to try something new that I read about where I want you to keep speaking on this, but I'm actually going to step out of the room because I need you mm-hmm. to have the vulnerability of just like speaking your open, true, mm-hmm. honest mind. And oh, I will step back in whenever I feel like it's time.
But that's, you can only use that one time. Like, they can't do it every week. You know what I'm saying? You could be like, I'm going to do...
Oh, that's true. That's true. It's not repeatable.
And a one-off. Yeah, that's a one-off.
You're going to need to put a porta-potty in your office. Call it the confessional booth. You're going to dress it up. You're going to say like, hey, I can tell you're having a whole hard time saying this to me face-to-face. I'll step into the confessional booth. You speak through the grate, but please put the sound-deafening headphones on. It is so important you put the headphones on.
I think a big issue here is that, and mental health professionals are heroes, but whenever you are in their service, the price per minute ratio of that work is considerable. And so if you just slip them a 20 and prepay at the pump a little bit, slip them a 20, or like if it's going to be pretty bodacious, a couple 20s, and then you to pop out.
Bodacious.
Yeah.
So you would say, you're like, hey, the bad news is I have to go poop, but the good news is this one's on my dime.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Right. I'm not burning
I poop on the company dime. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. That could work. If it's remote, you could just do the jacket over the head and phone thing. While you sit on the toilet, because no one's.
Yeah, I don't know why my camera's not working.
I can't see any of you below the waist right now.
That's true.
So, like, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's under your chair. Also, can I just ask you guys if you would be willing to share? Have you had a situation where you were not near a bathroom, you had to poop so badly you were contemplating alternative methods to evacuate?
Okay. All right.
Is the question, sorry, to narrow it down a little bit, are you saying, has this ever happened while we were recording the podcast? Because the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, that is a yes.
Well, are you just asking, has there ever been a time in our lives where we thought there's no way we can make it to a bathroom? Time for plan B.
Yes. Okay. I'm not asking if you did plan B. I'm asking, were you like, I'm at the point where I have to think about alternative methods.
Yeah,
the other day, I did make it to the restroom, but because I'm on too much magnesium probably, I literally saw a garbage can. Mm-hmm. I was like, can I get up there to sit?
Yeah.
But I didn't have to do that. That's what I'm just wondering. I'm the only person.
I once shit my pants a quarter mile from a Wendy's that I was desperately trying to get to. And my family was in the car with me, and they all knew about it. And there was a big crowd in the restroom of the Wendy's. And I left my underwear there at the Wendy's. Can't ever go to that Wendy's again. And my kids still talk about it to this day, mostly because my wife makes them. And it was, I wish I could say that was the worst one. It's just the worst one I will talk about on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Well. I see. Griffin looks half the time like he's horrified at you guys. I just will say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just that I, you know what it is, Felicia? I'll part the curtain for you. I'll put the tiger right up on the table and yell at it. I know that's not even the worst Justin story. Yeah. Like, I've borne witness to this tragic event.
Born witness. That's like
we don't need to unpack this in front of God and everyone and Felicia too.
Let's not do this in front of Felicia Day. She was in the guild.
She was in the guild. She was featured prominently in Supernatural. Please, guys.
Felicia, I have this whole. I didn't do like an introduction because of the phone call. Cafe. Now, when you tell people, like when people are like, I'm Felicia Day. I am this. What do you tell them? What do you tell people you do?
I do a lot of stuff on the internet. Okay. I downplay it because I'm an actor. I do a lot of stuff on the internet. Let's not talk about it anymore.
But you were on Buffy. You can pull that out. That's recognizable.
You're an actor. Like,
that feels old. Yeah. That feels old now, right?
I would definitely bring it up in every conversation I ever had for the rest of my
I'm
life.
I'm an official slayer.
Yeah.
I'm a slayer and a hunter, right? Officially. Yeah.
One television show we featured in predominantly, the network went under shortly thereafter. We still talk about it. That was like seven years ago. We bring that shit up all the time.
I struggle with that to figure out the way to explain. Saying entertainer feels bad.
No, yeah. And content creator feels really gross.
That's why I switched to influencer now. Just it's
easier. Oh no,
much better. Hey,
Trav, come on.
Tell me about Third Eye.
Oh, Third Eye. That's so funny that you wanted to ask about that.
It's the prequel to Fourth Wing.
Yes. Oh my God. Fourth Wing.
Zayden.
Third Eye. Fifth Element.
It's a trilogy. Yes.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I have to call you after I read the sequel as soon as it's out, and then I'll call you, and then we're just going to talk, right?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
We'll do an Third audiobook. We'll do a pirated audiobook.
oh my God. Will you be Zayden?
Yeah, I'll be Zayden.
Yes, Felicia will read everything else, and Justin will read Zayden. Just Zayden.
Third Eye is a project I've worked on for 5 years. It is it's a TV for your ears. It's a television show and audio, or you could think about it as a fully performed audiobook. It's 7 hours. It is about a chosen one who fails and gets her life blown up when this girl enters her life again. It's a fantasy adventure comedy, and it has a lot of really cool people in it. Neil Gaiman, Will Wheaton, Sean Astin, London Hughes, Lily Pichu, Weird Al does a cameo, and That's it. It's my baby, and it's on Audible, audible.com/Third Eye. What more can I tell you
about that? How satisfying is it to have that like in the public world now after 5 years? That must feel great.
I mean, everything's always a letdown for me. I mean,
that is the title of your memoir, so I should have guessed. Yep.
Follow-up question, Felicia, how worried are you that your actual daughter will hear you refer to Third Eye as your baby?
Oh, no. She doesn't refer to herself as a baby. I'm sure your kid. It's like 6 years old. It's like, I'm not a baby.
Oh, my six-year-old teenager? Is that what you mean?
Oh.
Who practices poses and practices disgusted sound reactions like, ugh, ugh. Mirror? You mean that? Six-year-old? Yeah.
I wanted to, before we leave, Felicia, and this is such a bad time to bring this up, but have you ever heard of Daniel Benzali, who was on a show called Murder One? Daniel Benzali was the original star of a show called Murder One, Stephen Bochco produced. And he was the original lead of the show, but he was fired after the first season. And in his memoir, Stephen Bochco described how this happened, is that Daniel Benzali would be late to work every single day because he had to poop at home before he got to the set. And so Stephen Bochco eventually was like, you can't keep doing this. You have to poop here. And he said, I can't poop here. I have to poop at my house. And Stephen Bochco is like, I will have to fire you from this television program. And he's like, you don't understand. I'm going to have my morning poop at home. And
it's a good bathroom.
And then I will come into work. He was fired after the first season.
Are you kidding?
Refused. And it was that timing too. It was like, I'm that regular, but it is going to be at home. And then I will make the trip in.
Someone who had to take several 10-2s where we made the My Brother and Me show inside of a old closed down and haunted menswear store. I relate to this person intensely, I will accept no.
I had guys on the first day of our shoot were like, this is the first TV show we've ever done. They're like, guys, if you need to go to the bathroom, just say 10-1 and people will know. And they said, unless it's if that's for pee, if it's poop, you say 10-2. And I'm like, okay, great. Thank you so much. We're babes in the woods here. It wasn't until literally 3/4 of the way in, about after 3 weeks, did the thought occur to me, these guys don't need to know if I'm pooping or peeing in there. This is a trick.
They're just trying to figure out how relaxed can I be? How much time do I have?
Into announcing my intentions at every at every break that I had to go pee or poop. I had to announce that to everybody.
Did you turn your mic off? Because I don't trust anybody not to listen, though it's not that
every
exciting.
Every time.
Yeah, okay, good.
Every time. Yeah. I'm not trying to get WikiLeaked over
I would rather someone listen to me poop than be the reason that my microphone was erroneously turned off for a take or something. I'd rather not.
No, because they notice that. Other than that, also, I talk a lot of shit about people behind their backs. Yeah. Like, have to be really careful. Yeah.
Yourself on the toilet in the bathroom where you are. Yeah.
Time to talk a shit and take a shit. That's what I call
always.
It.
I'm on the phone talking shit while I take a shit all the time. Yeah. Yes,
that's
100%.
Just efficient.
That's efficiency.
Felicia, I know you have to go hop on a plane like almost immediately, so thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate
it. You guys are a delight.
Thank you.
And when we do our Fourth Wing spinoff interpretative, why don't we do interpretive dances to each scene?
Okay. Because interpretive dance on a podcast is a bold move and I fully support it.
Yeah. Just a lot of fabric.
Yeah. Make sure you like have the microphones pressed up against you so people can hear the fabric rustling.
A lot of corduroys.
I don't know. I need to talk about this book more. I might read it again on the plane. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with it. Just comes out of nowhere, the intercourse. And I was just like,
It really, you do not see it coming. More much like the dragons streaking through the night sky that you don't see until it's too late. The intercourse, it just comes out of nowhere repeatedly over and over and over again.
Oh, a lot. It's like, the last third, you want your money's worth? Here you go. Whatever. Okay.
Thank you. Felicia, thank you. Have a great trip.
Travis and Griffin look so bored. I can't. You guys just need to read this book.
They don't have to listen.
Yeah, I feel like I get it all now.
Yeah, it's a dragon sex book. It sounds awesome,
guys. Surprise dragon sex.
Right. Yay. Sex.
Is there a sword?
With the dragons, that's very important. That's weird, actually.
Do the dragons have sex with each other?
They're always watching. The dragons are always watching.
They are in their heads always watching, which is actually creepy now that I think about it. Yeah, that's creepy.
That's bad. Okay, thanks, Felicia.
All right, Third Eye. Download it. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much to our very special guest, Felicia Day. Reminder about Third Eye. Travis, where can people hear Third Eye if they want to listen?
Well, thank you for asking. It is on Audible. And it features Sean Astin, Felicia herself, Neil Gaiman, Will Wheaton, all kinds of wonderful people on there. So make sure you go check that out only on Audible.
Can I tell people about the exciting merch opportunities we have for them this month?
Please do.
We have a new poster that is one of my favorite designs just for the level of detail that has gone into it alone. It's a Plato's Rave map, poster size, designed by Danielle Myjo Birch. Myjo Birch Art on Instagram. And it is so fucking good. It looks cool. The design is full of little Easter eggs. It's like a little puzzle hunt for the mind. And that's good. We also got Candlelight's wrapping paper up there, designed by Justin Gray, Burn to Build on Instagram. And 10% of all merch proceeds this month will go to Reproductive Freedom for All, which fights for access to abortion care, birth control, paid parental leave, and protections from pregnancy discrimination. All of that over at MacRoyMerch.com.
And more.
And more. So much more. Thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Always so exciting to come out on stage to that one. It's a bop. I feel like we get to hang glide a little bit off of the draft of how good and cool that song is. So thank you so much for that.
Folks, that's going to do it for us for this week. So until next time, here's your cleansing sonic bath. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
We are getting a lot better at different. That. I'm Griffin McElroy.
This is my brother, me. Kiss your dad.
Square on the lips.
It's true. It's better. Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported directly by you.